And as you're turning to Psalms chapter 90, I read a story about a man. He was on a trip, and he decided to drive at night, which isn't always the wisest thing to do. But by morning, he was so tired, he realized, I can't make it all in one shot. I got to pull over and sleep a bit. So he drove to the next city, and he found kind of a nice secluded place that he thought he could park his car and, catch a couple hours of sleep. What he didn't realize was he was right in the path of a very prominent jogger's path. So he no sooner did he get there and get settled in and started to doze off, and somebody came up and knocked on the window. "Excuse me, sir, do you have the time?" So he looks down and, "Yes, it's 8:15. "Thank you." So the guy goes jogging off, and he gets settled in and starts to fall asleep again. Somebody else comes up and knocks on the window. "Excuse me, sir, do you have the time?" "Yes, it's 8:25. The guy goes jogging off, and he realizes, "Man, I'm not going to be able to sleep very long like this with people knocking on my window asking what time it is." So he digs through his car, and he finds a big piece of paper, and in big letters he writes, "I do not know the time," and tapes it on the window, and is like, "Sure enough, that'll keep people from disturbing me." Goes to sleep. About a couple minutes later, he hears a knock on the window, wakes him up, and the guy's like, "Excuse me, sir, I just saw your sign. I wanted to let you know it's 8:45. So that one didn't work out quite like he thought it would. But I do want to talk tonight, just a couple minutes, about this topic of time, time in our lives. You're there in Psalms chapter 90. Let's start in verse number 1 and read down a couple verses. The Bible says, "A prayer of Moses, the man of God. Lord, thou hast been our dwelling place in all generations. Before the mountains were brought forth, or ever thou hadst formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. Thou turnest man to destruction and sayest, Return, ye children of men. For 1,000 years in thy sight are but as yesterday when it is past. And as a watch in the night, thou carriest them away as with a flood. They are as asleep. In the morning they are like the grass which groweth up. In the morning it flourisheth and groweth up, and in the evening it is cut down and withereth." Drop down to verse number 12. Psalm 90, verse 12, the Bible says, "So teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom." I want to preach a message tonight entitled, "So Lord, teach us to number our days." Lord, we thank you for all that you've done for us. Lord, we thank you for the time that you've given us. And Lord, I think of Mr. Jim's testimony, Lord, and the 10 years you've given him, Lord, cancer-free. And Lord, you've given all of us time. Lord, some of us, you've given more time than others. But Lord, you've given all of us time. Lord, help us to learn something from your word, Lord, that we can use this time, be good stewards of the time that you've given us, Lord, and please you with it. God, I pray that you'll speak to us through your word tonight and help us to be better servants for you. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Time is an interesting thing. It's something we all have, and many of us feel like we need more time. Some people feel like they have too much time, they don't know what to do with it all. Many other people feel like they never have enough time in the day. A lot of times we get to the end of the day and we wonder where the time went. Sometimes time just drags on and on. And other times it flies by, we don't know where it went. In their lifetime, the average American will spend 6 months sitting at stoplights. I don't know how recent or accurate this is, but 6 months sitting at stoplights, 8 months opening junk mail. I'm sure that applies to email nowadays too. 1 year looking for misplaced objects. I'm sure it's more than that in some of our cases. 2 years unsuccessfully returning phone calls, 4 years doing housework, 5 years waiting in line, and 6 years eating. Most of that we would look at wasted time, except for the eating part. We would look at it as wasted time. Man, if I didn't have to wait in line, if there was a way I could cut all the lines, there's all that time I would gain. Time is a very interesting thing when we look at it. Time is an easy thing to waste. Benjamin Franklin once said, "Do you love life? Then do not squander time, for that is the stuff life is made of." Time is easy to waste. It's easy to let time get away from us without thinking about it, without realizing where it went. I think that's why Moses begged God here in our text, "God, teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom." Moses recognized the tendency to let time get away from us, to waste the time. That's why he begged God to help us use it wisely and not waste this precious thing God has given us called time. So tonight, I want to look at four thoughts about time, and I'll try to be timely. I thought that was funny. My wife didn't think so much, but and I told her this would probably be the wrong night to preach late, you know, as we're talking about time. So I will try not to do that. Point number one, thoughts about time, budgeting our time, budgeting our time. Psalm 90:12, so teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. The context of this psalm can be found in Numbers 14. Go ahead and turn back there to Numbers chapter 14. Moses wrote this psalm right after Israel had sent out the 12 spies into the land of Canaan the first time. We all know the story. They sent one man out of every tribe, 12 spies in to go view the land that God sent them in to go to take. The spies came back and gave the report of the land. They said, it's a good land, just like God promised us it would be. It was a land flowing with milk and honey. And Joshua and Caleb went on and said, let's go take this land that God has given us. The other 10 convinced Israel to not go through with it. They told them the stories about the giants, the people in the land, and the people became so afraid that they wouldn't go in. Then they turned and they murmured against Moses, murmured against God, and they didn't obey the commands that God gave them. We pick up in Numbers chapter 14, verse 26. This is just after Israel has refused to obey the Lord, murmured against Moses, and refused to do what they were supposed to do. Numbers 14, 26, the Bible says, and the Lord spake unto Moses and unto Aaron, saying, how long shall I bear this evil congregation which murmur against me? I have heard the murmuring of the children of Israel, which they murmur against me, saying to them, as truly as I live, saith the Lord, ye have spoken in mine ears, so will I do to you. Your carcasses shall fall in the wilderness, and all that were numbered of you, according to the whole number, from 20 years old and upward, which have murmured against me, doubtless ye shall not come into the land concerning which I swear to dwell therein, save Caleb the son of Jephunneh and Joshua the son of Nun. But your little ones, which ye said would be a prey, them will I bring in, and they shall know the land which ye have despised. But as for you, your carcasses, they shall fall in the wilderness, and your children shall wander in the wilderness 40 years, and bury your whoredoms until your carcasses be wasted in the wilderness. After the number of the days which ye search the land, even 40 days, each day for a year, ye shall bury your iniquities, even 40 years, and ye shall know my breach of promise. Israel had just been given the news from God that everyone 20 years old and upward would be dead within 40 years of that date. They knew 40 years from now, maybe before, but by 40 years from now, I will no longer be alive. How easy is it to not think about our end date? If we don't have a set date, it's easy to not think about it ending. What a wake-up to call to Israel, knowing I've only got 40 years or less. They could look at that time and count down to them. I think especially of the 20-year-olds. They had their whole life ahead of them. At 20 years old, I doubt most people are thinking, man, I'm gonna pass away one day. They're thinking, I've got nearly unlimited time, is what it seems like. Suddenly, they had a number attached to their days. Have you ever just imagined that you had unlimited wealth? I remember being at Sunday school with Pastor the one time. I was a young couple Sunday school class, and just as a mixer to open up some conversation in the beginning, he told us all, hey, imagine, what would you do if you had, I think he gave us a number, something, millions of dollars, unlimited wealth, what would you do? So people were throwing out different things, you know, where they'd want to travel, things they'd want to buy, you know, what they'd want to do if they had unlimited wealth. I was picking on Ben Hoxie. I remember him saying, you know, I just pay bills. So, man, somebody's got an imagination there. But we think about if we've got unlimited, what would we do with it? You could put as much of it over here as you want, as much of it over here as you could do whatever you want. But in reality, when we sit down and do our budgets, we typically, I would assume all of us have a limit to it. Man, I want to put money into this, but if I put it here, I may not have as much to put over here. And we got to spread our money between housing, between vehicles, between food, between clothing, between gifts, between, you know, hobbies, between whatever. There's a limited amount of resources we can put into everything. And we know budgeting, we do that, that way we make sure the right amount goes to each section. If you don't budget, you might accidentally put so much into your house that now you go to buy groceries and you don't have any money for food. Or you put so much into a car that, oh no, now I got to rip my house payment and I can't do that because you don't budget your money. The same thing is true with time. And it's so easy, especially as young people, to look at our time as limitless. And I can put whatever I want into here and whatever I want into there, but our time has a limit to it, just like our finances would. Amen. How often do we as Christians fail to budget our time? We only have 24 hours a day. We only have 168 hours a week. We only have 52 weeks in a year. And we will spend it on something. We will spend it on something, and too often we don't know what we spend it on. That's another thing about budgeting. When you budget, you know where your money is going. Lots of times, especially younger people, you get a job for the first time, you just start making some money. It seems like a lot of money. And a lot of times, teenagers will get a lot of money and then we'll spend it. We don't know where it goes. When you budget it, you know this money went there. Where is our time going? As we look back at 2018, where did our time go? Did we budget it? Did we set this time aside for this purpose and this time aside for this purpose? Or as we look back, did our time just disappear and we don't know where it went? We don't know what it was spent on. How are we spending our time in 2019? How should we spend our time in 2020? In this text, Moses is begging God to make everyone realize there's a set number of days. And they're going to spend it on something. What are they spending it on? It was easy for Israel to say, you know, maybe if that happened today, we'd see 2019. Man, if not before, 2059 is the last day I'm going to be alive. I'm going to live my life knowing there's an end to it. We need to budget our time and live knowing there's an end to our time. Time for work, time for ministry, time for rest, time for pleasure, time for whatever. But living wisely with our time and budgeting our time. Number two, redeeming our time. Not only do we need to budget and not only do we need to know where it goes and realize there's a limit, we need to redeem our time. Turn to Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 14. Pastor touched on this a little bit this morning, and I was glad he stopped when he did. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 14. The Bible says, "Wherefore he saith, Awake, thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. Verse 15, See that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil." Redeem is an interesting word. It's defined as to purchase back, to liberate or rescue from captivity or bondage, to redeem prisoners or captured goods, to repurchase what has been sold. Interesting. To regain possession of a thing alienated by repaying the value of it to the possessor. That's what the word redeem means. And Paul says we are to redeem the time. If we look back earlier in the part of this chapter, we see Paul's talking to the Ephesians. They're mostly new Christians. Many of them had lived out in the world. And he's instructing them how to live as a child of God. They were children of the world, children of Satan. And now they're children of the Lord, and they need to live differently than they did before. In Ephesians, the first part of this chapter, he walks through some of the works of the flesh. Go back to verse number 2. He says, "And walk in love, as Christ also hath loved us, and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor." Verse 3, "But fornication and all uncleanliness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you as becometh saints, neither filthiness nor foolish talking nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. For this ye know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man who is an idolater, hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Be ye not therefore partakers with them. Verse 8, for ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. Hey, you used to be children of darkness. You used to spend your time on all these things, the lust of the flesh that we just talked about. That's what you used to do. But now you need to live this way as children of light. The time that you used to spend over here, now you need to spend it this way because you're a Christian. Now this is how the Lord wants you to live. Immediately after Paul teaches them, hey, you lived one way as an unsaved, now you need to live this way as a Christian. Immediately after he says that, he brings in this word, redeem. And he says, redeeming the time, purchasing back the time. See, the Ephesians had given away so much of their time in the past to things that they ought not have been given it to. And now their time, they had habits, they had debts, they had whatnot. Their time was given to something else. Their time was now captive or slave to these things. And they needed to redeem their time, take it from what it had been given to, and given it to something else. I read a poem by a lady named Diana Neal, the poem's named No Time to Play. My precious boy with golden hair came up beside one day beside my chair and fell upon his bended knee and said, oh, mommy, please play with me. I said, not now, go on and play. I've got so much to do today. He smiled through tears and his eyes so blue when I said, we'll go play when I get through. But the chores lasted all through the day, and I never did find the time to play. When supper was over and dishes done, I was much too tired for my little son. I tucked him in and kissed his cheek and watched my angel fall asleep. I tossed and turned upon my bed. Those words kept ringing in my head. Not now, son. Go on and play. I've got so much to do today. I fell asleep, and in a minute's span, my little boy is a full-grown man. No toys are there to clutter the floor, no dirty fingerprints on the door, no snacks to fix, no tears to dry. The rooms just echo my lonely sigh. And now I've got the time to play, but my precious boy is gone away. I woke myself with a pitiful scream and realized it was just a dream. For across the room in his little bed lay my curly-haired boy, the sleepyhead. My work will wait till another day, for now I must find the time to play. Oh, this mother had a certain amount of time, and she had given it, and we would probably look at it and say she had given it wisely. She had invested her time in the chores and cooking for her child or for her family, cleaning the house and all the chores. She had invested it, but she took that time and she didn't have any time for her child. And as this woman realized, her boy had been neglected. At the end of this poem, she realized some of the time that she had been giving to the chores, to the housework, to the busyness, she had to redeem some of that time and give it to her child. And there was a price to pay. Redeeming says there's a price. In order to get something, you have to pay the value of it. Some things probably went undone. There may have been times that the house wasn't as spotless as she wanted. There may have been times that her to-do list wasn't all checked off. But if she wanted to have time with her boy, she would have to redeem the time from somewhere. That is the idea of redeeming time. I read a quote. This isn't entirely true, but I believe it holds some truth in it. It says, good mothers have dirty stoves, sticky floors, and happy kids. Shows they take time from one thing to give it to another. What is taking our time in 2019 that we should redeem and give to something else? See, the Ephesians had lived their lives giving their time to one thing, and Paul said, you've got to redeem it. You've got to take this time, even if it means giving up something, in order to serve the Lord with it. And it may not all be bad things. Maybe a good thing that you're just spending too much time, or that we spend too much time in. What did we spend so much time on in 2019 that we ought to be redeeming in 2020? How about work? Work is a good thing, but work can control our lives. Work can consume so much time that it's robbing our time from, say, a walk with the Lord, say, time with our family, say, time in our ministries. And not that work is evil, but maybe there be some time we need to redeem from our work and give up some overtime pay and give up some of that in order to invest the time somewhere else. What about pleasures and hobbies? The Ephesians knew what this was like. The Bible says they needed to redeem the time because they lived in an evil day. There was a lot of things grabbing at their attention. Don't we live in a day like that? Lots of things grabbing our attention. Lots of hobbies, lots of extra jobs. Everything is vying for our attention. There's a lot of things we may have to say no to redeem the time, take that time back in 2020, to reinvest it in a way God may want us to use. What should we be redeeming our time to? Maybe as we look forward to 2020, God would point out an area, not that we're spending too much time in, but maybe an area that we need to spend more time in. You need to redeem some time from somewhere and put it back into this. Maybe the family. Maybe your children or your spouse. Maybe your personal walk with the Lord. Maybe your ministries or church that we need to redeem time for. What would God speak to our hearts about that we need to redeem time from and redeem time to in 2020? We have budgeting our time. We have redeeming our time. Number three, we have planning our time with the Lord. Turn to James chapter 4. James chapter 4. Planning our time with the Lord. You know, we all have things we look forward to. We all have goals and things we want to accomplish. And you can find out what people are interested in pretty quickly just by talking to them. You talk to them and you'll know what they're interested in because they'll tell you all about it. And typically, whatever they're interested in, they have a goal or they have something they're pushing towards or something they want to accomplish. And you know they're interested in that because they're shooting for something. Whether it's a job and they're looking for a promotion or they're looking to learn this skill or it's a Bible study and they can't wait to delve into this new Bible study book or whatever. When we're interested in something, we're looking forward into the future. And it's easy to make plans about things we like, isn't it? I plan on doing this because I'm interested in it. But do we remember the Lord when we make those plans? I'm not saying bad things. I'm saying good things, but do we remember the Lord when we make those plans? James chapter 4, verse 13, the Bible says, "Go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow, we will go into such a city and continue there a year, and buy and sell and get gain. Whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time, and then vanisheth away. For that ye ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or do that." Here in James 13, he's not condemning people for wanting to go and do something. And the primary point of this passage is explaining, hey, your life is short. You don't know what's going to happen in the future. But he says, when you make plans, if the Lord wills, whatever their plans are, they're thinking about the Lord's will and that plan. You know, we don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. Right. We don't know what's going to happen in our future. Right. But the Lord does. Amen. So when we make our plans, when there's things we're interested in, when we're thinking about how we're going to invest our time in the future, we ought to seek the Lord's will on it. Right. And maybe the Lord says, go ahead and do this. Maybe the Lord leads us away from something that we would want to do because there's something in the future that's going to come that we don't know about. We need to trust the Lord's will when we plan how we are going to spend our time. What plans and ambitions do we have in 2020? How are we already thinking, I'm going to spend this time, I'm looking forward to doing this and this and this, and we think about things we're going to do, that's time. As we're thinking, how is our time going to be spent in 2020? Are we thinking about the Lord's will and how we spend our time? Planning your time with the Lord. Point number four, living our time on God's schedule. Living our time on God's schedule. Go back to our text, Psalms chapter 90. You know, we're used to time being a set in stone thing. Time is, we know what time is. We know every 24 hours the sun's going to rise. We know every 7 days it's going to be a new week. We know every 365 days we're going to have spring, we're going to have summer, we're going to have fall and winter. We can calculate months in advance. On this day, the sun's going to rise at this specific time because we know how time works. Time is a set in stone thing for us. But you know, it's not the same on other planets. You know, if you go to Mercury, one day, that's from sunrise to sunrise the next day, is just over 1,400 hours. Or one day on Mercury is 58 days on Earth. On Venus, one day is 243 Earth days. From the time that the sun rises to the time that it rises again the next day is 243 Earth days. But 1 year on Venus is only 224 Earth days. So if you're on Venus, one day from the time the sun rises and sets and it rises again, one day is longer than an entire year on Venus, where the seasons would change. It boggles our mind because time is a set in stone thing for us, and when we think about days and things switching, it just doesn't make sense. But you know, even on those planets, a minute is still a minute. 60 seconds is still 60 seconds. An hour is still an hour. It just seems different. But you know, with God, time is completely different. Our concept of time doesn't apply to God. Psalms chapter 90, look at verse 4. The Bible says, "For 1,000 years in thy sight are but as yesterday when it is past. And as a watch in the night, thou carriest them away as with a flood. They are as asleep. In the morning they are like grass which groweth up. In the morning it flourisheth and groweth up. And the evening it is cut down and withereth." We know in 2 Peter 3, it talks about 1,000 years being as one day to the Lord, and one day being as 1,000 years. It doesn't make sense to us all the time. It's difficult to understand, but we know God's time with God, God's timetable is totally different from our timetable. With that in mind, how does that apply to our lives today? Knowing that God's timetable is different from our timetable, we ought to wait on God's timing. You know, our text reads, 1,000 years are but as a moment to the Lord. Moses wrote this just after God told Israel, hey, when you thought you were going into the promised land, you thought you were going to go conquer it and this land was going to be yours, hey, I'm going to push that back 40 years. In Israel's mind, why is God doing that? 40 years, that's a long time. Why would God postpone that for 40 years? You know, when a student goes off to college, they're committing, and they want to get a bachelor's degree, they basically commit at least 4 years of their life to that college. Man, as a freshman going to college, 4 years seemed like forever. And a time to us seems like a long time. And, you know, as you look at buying a house, lots of times your mortgage could run 20, 30 years. You sign that mortgage, man, 30 years, that's forever. I'm never going to be out of this. 30 years. Think about Israel. 40 years. A 10-year-old boy would be 50 years old. And I'm sure Israel looked at that and said, God, why are you postponing that? It doesn't make sense. It takes so long. But God, it wasn't a big amount of time for the Lord, and the Lord had a plan with it. Right. You know, waiting is often very hard for us. But God knows what's coming in the future. And time doesn't work the same with the Lord. And the Lord sees what's coming and can know when to move stuff later or earlier. You know, we just came off Christmas, and I know when you're a couple weeks away from Christmas, people already start talking about, man, I can't believe Christmas is here. Now we're talking, you know, man, I can't believe Christmas is already over. You know, to many of us, it came and went so fast. But when you talk to a child, you know, a little 6 or 7 year old about 3 weeks from Christmas, you may say, wow, Christmas is only 3 weeks away. And what would the little kid a lot of times say? 3 whole weeks away. We view time differently. A child may look at 3 weeks as in a long time, and we look at 3 weeks as in nothing. You know, lots of times that's how we look at things with the Lord. We may want something, or we may feel like we need something now, and God may not bring it to pass for years down the road. And we may look at it and never understand it. Lord, why did you let stretch that out so long? But time to the Lord is different, and He knows what is best. We may see something we think ought to happen. You read about people that pray for the Lord to do something, pray for revival, pray that the Lord would work in somebody's heart and they would be saved. And sometimes those people don't even see the results of it until after they're passed away. But whether it be 10, 20, 30, 40 years, many times God does a work, maybe way later than we thought, but God still works. Amen. You know, we need to learn to wait on God's timing. Because there's lots of things that I think ought to happen right now. But God knows best. And God could see 1,000 years when we don't see it. And we need to be patient in God's timing. Knowing that the Lord's time and our time is different, we need to be patient. But second, we ought to be watching for the Lord's return. Turn to Mark chapter 13. Not only do we need to be patient, and knowing, man, this may seem like I'm waiting forever, but in God's plan, it's just the next thing on the calendar, the next thing, and He knows the timing. But we ought to be watching for the Lord's return. You're there in Mark 13. Look at verse 32. Mark chapter 13, verse 32. But of that day and that hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels which are in heaven, neither the Son, but the Father. Take ye heed, watch and pray, for ye know not when the time is. For the Son of Man is as a man taking a far journey, who left his house and gave authority to his servants, and to every man his work, and commanded the porter to watch. Watch ye therefore, for ye know not when the master of the house cometh, at even, or at midnight, or at the cock crowing, or in the morning, lest coming suddenly he find you sleeping. And what I say unto you, I say unto all. It's you and me. Watch. Christ is speaking in this passage, and He's talking to His disciples, telling them to watch for the Lord's return. That was 2,000 years ago. And, you know, as I read this, I'm thinking sometimes, why would the Lord wait for 2,000 years? And if the Lord was going to wait for 2,000 years, why didn't He just tell us when it was going to come? Because the Bible says 1,000 years are to the Lord is asleep. Have you ever gone to sleep, maybe a nap, or at night, set your alarm, and as soon as you go to sleep, you feel like instantly the alarm goes off and wakes you up? It seems as nothing. That's 1,000 years to the Lord. Do that twice, and 2,000 years has passed. The time since Christ was crucified to today. It's nothing to the Lord. Why did the Lord have to put it off so long? Why couldn't the Lord tell us if it was going to be so long? Why should we be watching for generations upon generations? Why should we be watching because we don't know the Lord's timing? Because the Lord wants us to be prepared for His coming. I remember as a child when we would get older and my parents would, whether wise or not, trust us to stay at home without them. I don't think we ever did any major damage. But maybe they'd have to run some errands or they'd go on a date or something like that, and they'd leave us children home. And sometimes they'd give us a job to do. Hey, by the time we come home, you need to take the garbage out or do some job. You know, if they told us we're going to be back at 3 o'clock, you know when we started doing the chores? About 2:58 is when we'd start to do the chores. But when they said, all right, I'm leaving, you don't know where I'm going or how long I'm going to be, and this better be done by the time we get back. They could be back at 1 o'clock. They could be back at 5 o'clock. We had to get on it and do it. And you know, many times, don't we even as adults act like children in that way? Had the Lord, back in Bible time, said, in the year 2075, I'm going to return, I wonder how we would be living our lives today, knowing we've got 55 more years till the Lord's comes back. Why should I be out serving so heartily, serving the Lord? Because he's not coming back for 50 more years. And as much as we would like to think we wouldn't live like that, I'm sure that would affect all of us. But the Lord says, you don't know when I'm coming back. Watch and pray and be ready. And the Lord could come back before I finish this message. Hopefully it's not that long. But because we know the Lord's going to come back at any time, we need to live every day. He could come back in 2020. So I need to live 2020 spending my time as if the Lord's coming back. And if he doesn't come in 2020, I need to live 2021 spending my time like the Lord could come back at any time. And so on and so forth until the Lord comes. Because God's time is different than our time. But he commands us to live for him, watching for him. Have you been living on God's timetable in 2019? Have I been living in God's timetable in 2019? Have I, throughout 2019, been living, spending my time, investing my time according to what the Lord wants me to do with it? Knowing God could come back at any time and see how I'm using this time right now. How ought we to use our time differently in 2020, knowing these truths? O teach us to number our days. We have a finite, limited amount of days. You know, we think about it, many of our allotted days are already used up. I was thinking about it. Moses said, threescore years and 10, or if by reason of might, fourscore years, maybe 80 years. I'm over a quarter of the way used up. And I'm still a young person, I think. If we look at our time, 2019 was 1 year, one more year checked off of our allotted number of days. What are we going to do with the rest of the days God has given us? We have a specific number. What are we going to be doing with them?
Thank you for joining us by way of the internet today. We're so glad that you were able to be with us, and we pray that the service was a blessing to your heart. Even though the sermon is over, our service is not over. At the end of our service, we give an opportunity for people to respond and come to an altar and pray over what God dealt with them about. Sometimes people come to call upon Christ and to be saved. Others come to make a decision for Christ regarding their Christian lives. Others come to call out to the Lord about special needs and situations in their lives. Maybe God has dealt with you today about some specific area of your life. I invite you to make an altar right there in your home, a quiet time before the Lord where you pray to him and respond to him about what he has spoken to you about. If you made a decision for the Lord today, we would be glad to hear about that decision and or answer any questions you have today about the message that was preached. You can contact us by way of email at info@mountziononline.org or by way of phone at 717-927-9227. Again, we thank you for joining us today, and we look forward to you joining us again for our live stream weekly on Sundays at 10:45 a.m. and on Sunday evenings at 6:45 p.m. If we can meet a need in your life, please do not hesitate to contact us. Thank you, and God bless you.